Take our Bibles and turn to the book of Psalm 17. Psalm 17. Psalm 17. And I want to share with you a message simply titled, God Cares. David knew what it was like to care for his sheep. He also knew what it was like to have God as his shepherd. David had experienced often where the Lord would come and do for him what no one else could. And as followers of Christ, you and I will have to often experience that same help from the Lord. And I think this morning that there's a few things that will be mentioned that I think will be a benefit to you in your spiritual life. And I do pray that God will use it. But we'll look at Psalm 17. We'll just read verses 1 through 7, there's some other verses that we'll refer to, but verses 1 through 7, David prays, "Hear the right, or the righteous, O Lord, attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal or just. Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths," or uphold, "that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thy ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them." Let's pray. Father, we do want to bow before you and acknowledge that you alone are God. Lord, you are our God. We thank you for sending your Son Jesus into the world to save us from our sins. We thank you for this great gift of salvation. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to see and understand more of the truths of salvation. Lord, help us to be able to walk, Lord, in the promises of your word. Lord, help us that we might be strengthened and we might grow in our understanding of who you are, the Lord Jesus Christ is. Lord, we need your help this morning. If we get a sense of what this psalm is saying and or the meaning behind it, it would greatly benefit us as your children. And we pray that you would do that gracious work in our hearts. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. And God, give us an understanding heart that we might apply, Lord, your word to our life. And that in doing so, we might bring you honor and glory. Lord, please be with those that may be here that are unsaved and in danger of spending eternity separated from you. Lord, we know that's not your will. And we pray, God, that they would come to Jesus this morning, that they would be saved. Lord, please help us. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Like I said, last Sunday, we looked at a psalm where David was on the mountaintop. God had done wonderful things in his life, and he was rejoicing in God's blessing. Remember, the greatest blessing of all is the blessing of God's countenance, his presence. And David was rejoicing in God's presence in his life. But this is a psalm that's in the opposite direction. David is surrounded by great adversaries, vicious enemies. They are doing their best to bring about his destruction and death. Listen to what he says in this Psalm 17 and verse number 9. For the wicked that oppress me from my deadly enemies who can pass me about. This is not us just having some physical problems or monetary problems or being troubled on in some way like that. This was a real enemy that was seeking David's life. And David said, they're around me like lions that are greedy for his prey, young lions lurking, that's verse 12, in secret. And he knows that his only help is in what God can do for him. It's not in the size of his army. It's not in his skill on the battlefield. It's not in his own personal wisdom. It's not even in the years that he has been God's man, the king. It's in God's abiding and constant help. This is the only way that he is going to survive this period that he's now facing. And he gives us some things in this psalm that I really think will help us if we find ourselves maybe not on a battlefield surrounded by an adversary in that sense, but in the difficulties of life. Because we all will go through those times. And you can't just run to a psychiatrist and get pills. And a lot of times that really doesn't meet the need. Some people try to self-medicate. That's why you have a lot of people that are addicted to alcohol. Because they were hurt and they're trying to medicate themselves. And it just is a downward spiral. Even some who've turned to drugs and other things, hurting on the inside, and they don't know how to overcome that hurt. It doesn't seem to be any help from anyone. No one seems to understand. No one seems to even really care. And they're at a loss as far as what they can do or who can I turn to? Where can I get some real, genuine help? Well, David knew where to get help from. And the same place that David found help is the same place you and I can find help. As followers of Christ, these words apply to us as well. That our help is in the Lord. That God can meet our needs. We've seen in scriptures where others have made different decisions about who they were going to trust in. And we always see where that leads to their ruin. The first king of Israel, King Saul, when he was facing a great enemy, the Philistines, their number was, this is 1 Samuel chapter 13, their number was bulging. They were increasing in their number of forces. David was told to wait on Samuel the prophet. And these 7 days are passing. And Saul is looking at his army and it's diminishing. The enemy's getting larger and stronger. Every morning I wake up, I've had more men sneak off in the night and I've lost another 100 or so. And the day comes that Samuel is supposed to be there, if you'll read it, and he doesn't show up. And so Saul foolishly says, we have got to do something. And so he said, you bring me the sacrifice. And he offers up the sacrifice. And as soon as he offers up the sacrifice, guess who comes walking up? Samuel. He just waited a little bit longer. I think a lot of us, if we had just been a little bit more patient and waited on God to really address our heart issue or speak to us and give us direction, we just waited on God a little longer, we would have got the answer. But a lot of us, like King Saul, rush out and say, well, something has to be done. And this is where Samuel says, you've lost the kingdom. You could have been king, your descendants could have been king, but because you've done this, you have lost the kingdom. And so a lot of times when you give in to pressure or what others want you to do, it's, you end up making a mistake. Your hope is in the Lord. Even Lot, this was not an enemy that was rising up against Lot, but it was a conflict that he was in. He had cattlemen that were watching over his flocks, and Abram had cattlemen that were watching over his flocks, and each one of them wanted the best grazing ground the next day. And so they would fight. I imagine sometimes it turned into actual physical fights, the way they were describing it, don't you? And they said, we can't keep doing this. And Abraham goes to Lot and says, Lot, choose you out whatever direction you want to go. You go right, we'll go left. If you go left, we'll go right. And instead of Lot praying and saying, God, what is it that you want me to do? I know you're with Abram, my uncle. What is it that you want of me? Lot does what a lot of us do. He looked and surveyed the options that were in front of him. And he said, I can't fail going this way. And he cast his tent toward Sodom. And if you read the rest of that story, you and I know that was the most foolish decision Lot had made in his entire life up to that point. And David is a good example in these Psalms about what we really ought to do. So notice what David does. The very first thing David does is he says, Lord, hear me. Now, this is where I think we all could get some help. Because a lot of times when we pray and we say our prayers, we really don't expect an answer like we ought to expect an answer. David is here not just praying. He's saying, God, you have got to take up this request of mine and answer me. I need an answer. This cannot be a prayer that goes unanswered. God, hear me. That's the word means, if you look it up in other places in the Old Testament, it's the word hearken. And this will shock you. It's even translated sometimes in the English, obey. Now, this is not that wrong mindset that comes from some in our church out there in the world that says you can command God and you can order Him to do whatever you need Him to. That's not the sense in which David is saying this. You and I can never command God. It's almost blasphemous for us to even suggest that we can order God around. It's not that he's saying, God, you have to obey me. The point of this word is to say, I must have an answer. You know, a lot of times we're going through problems and difficulties and trials. We pray our prayers, but we don't expect an answer. And that's one of the things you and I have to constantly guard against, is this temptation of treating everything like we're just going to be generic in our praying and really not anticipate that God will give me an answer. There needs to come some times in our lives where we have to hold on to the Lord until we get a sure answer about this request that we're making. I'm afraid a lot of times that our prayers are just like the Muslim prayers when they pray five times a day. They have to pray five times a day. They have to face in a certain direction and they have to say these words. But there is no anticipation that God will hear them and answer them. It's just, well, it's time to pray. So I'm going to go through this prayer time. I'm going to say these words because I'm supposed to. If you're not careful, you'll be facing trouble, difficulty, and you will not expect to receive an answer from God. Can I say something to you? And if you don't expect to receive an answer from God, you will not receive an answer from God. You say, preacher, why does God sometimes put us in a situation where we are compassed about with enemies and there doesn't seem to be any help anywhere? No matter what I do, it seems that it makes it worse. Why would God, if he cares for me, why would God put me here? Because God may be wanting you to get serious about prayer instead of just praying. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? It's one thing before you go to bed, say, now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. Or praying over a meal, you know. Good bread, good meat, good Lord, let's eat. Or just saying the same old repetitions over and over again. When are you going to want an answer from God? And that's what David is saying. David is saying, God, I've got to have an answer here. I don't want words just to send up to heaven. I want an answer to come back down from heaven. Jesus said something similar to this in Matthew's gospel, Matthew 21. Look at verse 21. If you want, this is a good way to memorize this section of scripture. Matthew 21, verse 21 and 22. This is kind of prayer that Jesus encourages us in. Jesus, he had turned the fig tree that was no fruit on it. He cursed it and it shriveled up and died. And the disciples are saying, whoa, wait a minute. What happened? And Jesus answers and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, But also, if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And many of us, when we read that, our first response is, I can't cast mountains into the sea. You can't. But God certainly can, and it's no problem with God at all to do that. And Jesus didn't cease his statement there. He said, verse 22, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, listen, believing, ye shall receive. So this isn't just saying prayers or going through the motions. You know, sometimes, can you hear me on this? Sometimes even when we have a problem, we say, God, would you help me? And we don't expect an answer. How many of y'all would say amen to that? Amen. Like, Lord, I've been praying about this. I've been fasting about this. But Lord, we don't seem to be troubled if an answer doesn't come. David is saying, I must have an answer. He's like Jacob in Genesis 32 when he's got a hold of God in the tent and he's wrestling with the angel of the Lord and the angel says, let me go. It's about daybreak and Jacob says, I can't let you go until you bless me. And he holds on. He said, I'm not going to let you go. And he touches the hollow of his thigh and injures Jacob. But Jacob says, I have got to get help. I've got to get an answer. I can't let you go without hearing from you, without you doing something in my life. And you and I need to be urgent in our prayers as well. If we are in great need, we need to ask the Lord to hear us. We need to believe that God is going to answer. We need to expect an answer. And when we don't receive an answer, we need to be back at the throne of grace saying again, God, hear me. I can't move forward. I can't do anything without you hearing me and helping me. What am I going to do unless you show me the way? And then he says, hold me. Look at verse 5. We read this verse. Hold up my goings in thy paths that my footsteps slip not. That word is, it's uphold. How many of you ever been on like a creek or out at the ocean and you're on these rocks and you go to take a step on a rock and then the next thing you know, you're looking up to the heavens, you know? You think, I know I stepped on a rock, but you didn't realize how slippery that rock was. Now you're out fishing and, you know, if I get just a little bit further out, Casey, that's the spot right over there, you know. So you go and try to get over that a little bit further and this world is a slippery world. You know, left to ourselves, and David knows this, Lord, if I don't get your help, I've got my enemies around me and everywhere I turn, they're waiting to pounce. How am I going to know where to go or what to do without you holding me up? And you and I need God to do the same thing for us because we certainly will fall without His help. When you're in trouble, facing difficulties, you need to ask the Lord, Lord, hear my prayer, but you need to also say, Lord, you've got to sustain me during this time because I am not able to sustain myself. You know what that takes in every single one of us? That takes humility. You know one of our biggest problems is? Our biggest problem is we pretty much can handle most anything in life and we are busy about handling those things. David is certainly not sitting in the castle twiddling his thumbs, not doing anything. You could tell that he's doing his best to know where to go and what to do and how to get there, but he realizes if God does not direct him or help him, how does he not know that it's not a trap that's been laid out by the devil? You know, sometimes the answer that we think we get is really a trap by the devil. Have you ever been praying about something, and all of a sudden it opens up, and you don't even realize, later on you will realize this, like, uh-oh, that wasn't what God wanted. It looked like it might be. But if we're so out of practice in trying to get the Lord to hold us up, then we're easily fooled by an adversary that's been fooling people for many, many years. We need the Lord to sustain us. Why is that? Because we constantly need God's guidance and direction. Constantly. Because we don't know what God's doing in our life. How many of y'all would say amen to that? A lot of times we don't know what God is trying to work out in us. We know what it looks like. We know what it feels like. We may know what some of the problems around it are, but we don't know what God is trying to accomplish in us. And it may be that what we're going through is really intended to touch somebody else's heart all the while anyway. Amen? May not be that God is trying to work something miraculous in your life. It may be that he's just trying to use your circumstances to get a hold of somebody else's heart. And so only God knows what he's doing. You know, he's the one that has the full view of everything. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows how it's going to work out. And if you and I do his will, he knows exactly what he will accomplish if we yield to him during this time of difficulty. And I'm fully persuaded this. God has never brought you through a valley or a difficulty or a problem to ruin you. That's not the heart of the Father. Anytime he takes you through something, and no matter how hard that is, it's because he's trying to perfect something in you or accomplish something else for his own glory. And so he knows what he's doing. We don't even know what the enemy's doing. Right? How am I to know what traps the devil is setting? I'm to pray daily, Lord, lead me not into temptation and deliver me from the evil one. Why? Because I can't see where he's laid those traps. You know who sees that? God does. Remember in the 2 Kings chapter 6, when the king of Syria would send his soldiers out, his army out to defeat Israel. And then Israel would not even go that way. He's like, oh, I thought we had them that time. All right, send them over here. And if you read that, 2 Kings 6, 8 through 12, it says not once or twice did he do that. I mean, many times he would try to send his army out, and Israel wouldn't even go in that direction. And finally he gathered all his men together and said, look, which one of you are telling him what we are discussing as far as battle plans? Because every time we plan on doing something, he acts like he has heard every word we said. And they say, it's not any of us. We're not spies. There's a prophet. And every time you say your plan, the prophet hears it and he tells the king of Israel what you're doing. And that's how they're avoiding you. Preacher, what's the point? Well, we don't know where the enemy's going. We don't know where he's setting up. We don't know what his plans are. But we know someone who does. And if you're going through this time, it may be that the devil is trying to accomplish something in your life, and the only way you can avoid his ruinous plan is for God to uphold you and keep you from slipping. I need the Lord to hear me because I need his help. I need him to answer me. I need the Lord to also hold me up, because if he doesn't hold me up, I may fall at any moment. Can, would you please listen to this? None of us are guaranteed that we won't ever slip. Any one of us can slip at any moment. And the only one that can keep us from slipping is the Lord himself. And listen to me, if you're ever going to slip, it's going to be during a time of great difficulty and heartache and trouble. Because it's already difficult during those times to do some of the basic things, isn't it? And so if you're going to slip, it's going to be then. So you need God to uphold you and protect you and deliver you. And then finally, he's the only one that knows what we must do as well. He knows what he's trying to accomplish. He knows what the enemy's doing. And he knows what we have to do during this time of trouble. We can't see any of that. Remember when the great army came against Israel and they were encompassed about. And the prophet said, hey, there's more with us than it's with them. Remember that in the Old Testament? And he said, what are you talking about? That army is massive. And he said, Lord, open his eyes that he could see. And when the Lord opened his eyes and he looked into the spiritual world, he saw that the host of heaven outnumbered the enemy, massively outnumbered them. We can't see that with physical eyes. The only way we can know what to do is if the Lord will sustain us and help us. We'll trust him. And then finally, he asks the Lord to hide him. Look at verse 8 of this chapter 17, verse 8. He said, keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. The pupil is known as the apple of the eye. That's what it's referred to. Some people used to refer to your pupil in your eye as the apple of the eye. That's a very sensitive, one of the most sensitive areas on your body. And it's also one of the most protected, right? It can sense something coming to your eyeball, and that eyelash will flash and try to keep it out. And David is saying, Lord, please keep me protected. Guard me. Watch out for me. Hide me from what the enemy is trying to do to me. David is seeking the protection that can only come from the Lord. When we are looking to the Lord for his help, looking to the Lord to be upholden or held up by the Lord, we also need to realize that God is going to meet our needs and he will continue to hide us. Notice where he's hiding us. He's hiding us under the shadow of his wings. What's David saying? David's saying, Lord, I need your protection. Just like the eye needs the protection of the eyelash, and the bones around it, Lord, I need to be under the shadow of your wings. I have to have you hiding me from the enemy. And by the way, we have many adversaries. Amen? In hiding us, he proves some things to us. He proves that he loves us. In protecting us, he proves he loves us. Do you think he really wants you out there and the devil, the lion, just ravaging your carcass? You think that's the great shepherd's plan for your life? Sometimes if you're going through difficulty, you might think, wait a minute, it feels like that preacher. That is not his plan though. Amen? The fact that he is going to cover you and protect you proves that he loves you. And by the way, you and I should never doubt the fact that God loves us. You know, sometimes when you're facing difficulty, even the devil might whisper that. You know, are you sure God knows what's going on? Are you sure God cares? Are you sure God loves you? And anytime he tries to tempt me with that thought, I always immediately think of Calvary. My spirit goes to Calvary. My mind goes to Calvary. I always think of Calvary because that's the answer. Does God love me? Yes. He died for me at Calvary. Regardless of what I'm going through now, he forever proved his love in that he bore my sins on that tree, that old rugged tree. And he died so that I could have salvation through him. And Paul said in Romans, if God would give his only son for you, how much more would he not with him freely give you all things? So his hiding proves that he loves us. It also proves that he's near to us. You know, it's not that God has left you on an island by yourself, but he is watching over you and he is very near to you. He has not forsaken you. He will not abandon you. No matter how hard it gets, he promises that he will always be with you. And if you're under his shadow, that means that he is very near to you. Amen? Amen. And then lastly, it means we are safe. Does it matter what the hawk flying high in the sky does as long as the little chick is under mother's wings? No. They can't even see the fearful hawk shadow no more. Why? Because they're sheltered under mama hen's wings. Amen? Amen. And you and I may not feel safe, but we are safe. Amen? Amen? Because God knows exactly what he's doing. And as long as we keep our trust and faith in him, listen to me, all will be well. That doesn't mean that the prison doors won't shut. That doesn't mean that the doctor won't give you bad news. It doesn't mean that. It just means this, that no matter what you go through, you won't go through that alone. Amen. That God has promised to walk with you every step of the way and to meet your need. If you're here this morning and you're going through a time of trouble and testing and difficulty, please don't take this next word wrong, but demand an answer. Don't just throw out a prayer and say, okay, now I prayed about it. Say, God, I want an answer. I need to hear from heaven. Lord, I need you to personally take up my petition and give me some insight and direction. I need help. And Lord, I can't give up praying until I get an answer from heaven. Do you know how many Christians, very few could raise their hand and say, preacher, I have learned to get definite answers from God in prayer. Many have learned to pray, but very few have learned to receive definite, clear answers from God in prayer. God help us that changes. Amen. If you're here this morning going through a difficult time, trust in the Lord to hold you up. He's going to be the one that can sustain you and strengthen you. And then also trust that he is also hiding you. That means that he does care. He does love you. He will meet your needs. You're safe in his arms. You can trust him. Amen. Where could you go to get greater help than that? I know of no place you could go. And please, if you're here this morning, you have not received Jesus as your Savior, do that today. Why? Because today's the day of salvation. Yes. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Jesus' greatest rescue was to rescue you and I out of hell, eternity in hell. He is the Savior that saves us from perishing, dying lost, and going to hell. Come to Jesus and be saved today. Amen. Would you do that? Let's stand. Christian, if you need help this morning from the Lord, you may need to come to an altar and say, God, I do need an answer. I must have an answer. I can't just keep going on guessing. I want to hear your voice. I want to know what to do. Will you please do that this morning as we talk to the Lord? Let's pray. Father, thank you for